Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It could be morning there. It could not be morning there. That's the beauty of podcasts. But when I record this, it's in the morning. So I'll say good morning and welcome to the Freedom Report podcast. Today is Friday, September the 8th, and it is a beautiful day out here in Kansas City. I hope you have a wonderful day. If you are in Florida, please evacuate. Two hurricanes headed towards the coast. Category 4 at the moment, heading towards South Florida and then up the coast. Into states perhaps like Georgia and south, as far north as South Carolina. We're looking at some of these storm reports. A lot of my friends who are down there in Florida have already evacuated. Good for you. If you plan on sheltering in place, please do so with other people. Keep in touch. Let us know that you're going to be safe as soon as the storms pass by. And of course, look out for your loved ones and pets as well. So today is Friday, September the 8th, and I'm kind of excited because tonight I'm going to go see one of my favorite movies. Good buddy of mine, Jeff Caldwell, is having his birthday. Happy birthday, Jeff Caldwell, and really excited to come see the movie It with you. A lot of you probably don't know this. I've never really talked about this. I used to be a huge fiction fan. I've got probably 20 or 30 books by Stephen King here on my shelf. Obviously, can't stand the guy's politics. It always sucks when one of your heroes turns out to be a lefty Democrat. But what can you do? I love horror novels. And so I actually started rereading the book It a few weeks ago just because I was so excited at the anticipation of the new film. So I will let you know how that movie is when I come back for my next podcast next week. Before we do, I want to talk to you about one of my new sponsors who I was really excited when they contacted me the other day to get some advertising space in this podcast because it's such a perfect fit for this audience. I know you guys are big fans of the Second Amendment, and so am I. I mean, if you've been following me at all for any amount of time, you know I'm a hardcore Second Amendment advocate. I believe in the right to bear arms. I believe in the right of self-defense. And so when I was approached by my friends at the United States Concealed Carry Association, I was like, great, I would love to talk about this because this is such a great service for my listeners. And I want to talk to you about it for just a minute because, you know, I live in a loft-style apartment building, so I don't have to worry about it as much as some of you who live in homes across the country. But if you're worried about somebody breaking into your home and threatening your safety, then and that you might have to use your right to bear arms, this is why you need the USCCA. Let me tell you what they are. The United States Concealed Carry Association, what they do is they provide you with comprehensive legal and financial protection if you have to shoot the bad guy. Now, here's what it is. This is what the member benefits will include. It's basically insurance, right? So you'll get 100% upfront, no out-of-pocket coverage. Now, this is not like Obamacare where they promise you the world and you get, you know, Obamacare, right? Nothing. You get 100% upfront, no out-of-pocket coverage. You're going to get 24/7 access to the USCCA's critical response team. Consider this, you know, if you're getting, if something happens, if there's an incident in the middle of the night and you have to shoot the bad guy, you don't want to have to wait until the next morning after you've been bailed out to, you know, to have to call your insurance, right? So you could get 24/7 access to the critical response team. You've got a local attorney who will be coordinated with you within 48 hours. And you're going to get compensation while you're in court. Now, if you go to freedomdefend.com and you check out the levels of membership and their full list of services, it's really tremendous. And it starts at just $13 a month. I mean, I really want to get this for myself. I think I'm going to buy it this week because I'm a concealed carry guy. I'm a guy who defends himself. I practice the right to bear arms. $13 a month is really not a lot. And if you're a listener of the Freedom Report, you're actually going to get a free range bag when you activate a platinum USCCA membership. But you got to act quickly because it's just going on, I believe, this month. So you should see why. I think it's something like 250,000 people are using this service. Check it out. You want to go to freedomdefend.com. Very affordable. Gives you peace of mind. freedomdefend.com. Do me a favor, guys. Just go to freedomdefend.com as soon as the podcast is over and sign up for their insurance. It's a great deal, and really grateful to those guys for approaching me so I can get the word about. Great service. All right. Thanks so much. Now, moving on. Today's topic is one that we're getting into the Alex Jones territory of things, right? But it was actually a big article on Politico, and I thought it was an interesting story because it's something that you're starting to hear in mainstream sources. This is the kind of stuff that I would only hear back in like my Ron Paul 2008 days, right? So as if most of you don't know, I mean, I kind of have a long history as an activist, right? I'm a street fighter for liberty. I've been doing, you know, free market activism, activism for liberty since 2007, back in the old Ron Paul days when I was a volunteer for Congressman Ron Paul's presidential campaign in New York City. And this word would get tossed around back in the day, and it was just something that people talked about in my circles, but you would have never heard it on Fox News. You would have never heard it on Rush Limbaugh. You would have never heard it on MSNBC, but now you're hearing this phrase. The phrase is the deep state. And it's amazing to me how words will be something that'll be underground or concepts will be fringe before they go mainstream. And you always wonder, how do concepts go from fringe concepts to mainstream? But with the election of Donald Trump last year, it really has thrown the political world into chaos, total chaos. In some ways it's good, in some ways it's bad, right? If you're Baelish Littlefinger, then of course for you, chaos is the latter. And of course for myself, running for the U.S. Senate as a Republican in times of times like this, chaos can be a benefit. It can also be a dangerous thing. It can be a double-edged sword. But we're going to talk today about how the deep state is a real thing. It is a very real thing. And this is not, you know, water's turning the frickin' frogs gay. Oh, and speaking of, before I get into this, just so you know, today, if you're listening to this podcast on the 8th, before, I believe, 5 p.m. Central Time, I will be on InfoWars today. It will be my first public appearance on InfoWars. I know a lot of you guys are kind of like, oh my God, Austin, why are you associating with them? How could you go on so the, you know, crazy people's shows? Well, folks, there's no benefit to not talking to people that you disagree with on things, right? Like, you know that I'm not a big conspiracy guy. You know that I've, you know, debunked the JFK assassination. I've been a big debunker of, you know, GMO conspiracies, and I've been a big debunker of 9/11 conspiracies. And, you know, because I'm fascinated with conspiracies, that I love to dive into them and find a separate truth from reality. But the deep state is a conspiracy that is real. Right? I've never said there's no such thing as conspiracies, right? I've always said that you have to keep an open mind. If you're going to debunk things, then that's because you're going to go out and you're going to find evidence. So when Politico magazine had this article come out today by Michael Crowley, I was like, hey, here's a perfect example to talk about something that is very sinister and very real that happens in our U.S. government, something that really has been the domain, and Politico affirms this, it's really been the domain of the left for quite some time. And it's funny because a lot of the people who were those 9/11 truthers for so long in New York City, I remember because I was there, a lot of those people were leftists. I remember actually going to Occupy Wall Street and meeting large contingents of conspiracy theorists who were there. You know, they were people who wanted, a new investigation into George Bush for doing 9/11, blah, 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 right? And you know, a lot of the theories are crazy. But when we talked about the deep state at the Ron Paul gatherings in that little old converted nightclub that we turned into Ron Paul's headquarters in New York City, we would talk about the deep state, and we would talk about what it meant, because Ron Paul, he would attract some of these fringe people, and some of these people were, you know, libertarians, some were conspiracy theorists, but that we all understood what the deep state was. And it's kind of exciting now that it's become mainstream. But of course, the only problem is it's like with a lot of things, once a movement tends to go mainstream is when it starts to become corrupted and it perverted and it starts to dissipate. So I'm a little nervous about the fact that this is becoming a mainstream thing, because I would like to make sure that the American people are aware of the threats that are deeply embedded within our government, that are the kinds of things that you don't see every day, right? We see the open conspiracies against our liberties, right? When people like Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan and Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi all get together to screw us in public, right? Those are the open conspiracies, right? But the ones that are existing deeper underneath the surface, the ones that the true darkness that's happening in our government, that is the deep state. And I'm glad to see Politico is acknowledging this. So let's talk about it. Michael Crowley writes, At a conference in mid-July, Barack Obama's CIA Director John Brennan remarked that the executive branch officials have a, quote, obligation to refuse to carry out outrageous or anti-democratic orders from President Donald Trump. And let me just stop right there. Of course, he said, you know, outrageous or anti-democratic orders from President Donald Trump. But if there was an outrageous or anti-democratic order from Barack Obama, then the government was totally on board, right? Of course. The comment quickly caught the attention of Rush Limbaugh, who saw nothing short of a threat to the Republic. Quote, he practically called for a coup, the radio host bellowed on the air a few days later, warning of a plot orchestrated by, quote, embeds in the deep state at the Pentagon, State Department, various intelligence agencies. Embeds in the what? A year ago, the term deep state was the province of Edward Snowden acolytes and fans of paperback espionage thrillers. Today, Limbaugh takes it for granted that his millions of listeners know what it meant. The deep state entered America's national discourse in 2017 with the feeling of an already familiar character, ready to assume a starring role as a hero or a villain, depending on how you feel about Trump. It's easy to dismiss the idea as the breathless complaint of a frustrated president who hasn't learned to work the system, but it's not that simple. There really is a kind of cabal that operates independently of elected officials in Washington, even if it's not quite what Trump or his conservative allies think it is. Political scientists and foreign policy experts have used the term deep state for years, and political scientists, foreign policy experts, and Ron Paul supporters in New York in 2007, 2008. I just added that addendum to the Politico article. To describe individuals and institutions who exercise power independent of, and sometimes over, civilian political leaders. They applied it mainly to developing countries like Algeria, Pakistan, Egypt, and Turkey, where generals and spies called the real shots in nominally democratic societies and replaced elected leaders when they saw fit. For a generation, the people who saw something like an American deep state, even if they rarely called it that, resided on the left, not the right. The 9/11 attacks triggered the rapid growth of an opaque security and intelligence machine, often unaccountable to the civilian legal system. In the 2000s, the critique focused on a war machine of military and intelligence officials, defense contractors, and neoconservative ideologues who, in some versions, took orders directly from Vice President Dick Cheney. In the Obama era, the focus shifted to the eerie precision of targeted killings by drones, and then the furor over Snowden, the ex-National Security Agency contractor whose 2013 leaks exposed the astonishing reach of the government surveillance. There's definitely a deep state, Snowden told The Nation in 2014. Trust me, I've been there. Even measured academics began to describe a dual state system in the United States. The focus of Tufts University international law professor Michael Glennon's 2014 book, National Security and Double Government. Glennon observed that Obama had campaigned against Bush-era surveillance and security policies in 2008, but acquiesced to many of them as president, suggesting a national security apparatus that holds sway even over the elected leaders notionally in charge of it, right? And before I continue on, just think about it. After Donald Trump decided to send more troops into Afghanistan, his base didn't even want that. That wasn't popular with his base. Why did he do that? Well, a lot of people think it's because of the deep state. Laura Ingraham tweeted that no matter who wins the presidency, the military-industrial complex wins, right? There are powers within our government that are more powerful than our elected officials. And that's the scary thing, right? That's the scary thing, because it seems as if we always vote for the anti-war president, but we never get the anti-war president, right? We're always voting for the person who says they're going to get us out of the war, but then we never seem to get the president that gets us out of the war, which is what makes you think that there is some power, some entity that exists that is more powerful than the elected officials. And that's the kind of danger that we have to fight. Enter Donald Trump. After January 2017, the unaccountable string-pulling bureaucracy suddenly came to seem, especially to liberals, less a sinister cabal than a crucial check on a president determined to blow up the system we had come to take for granted. Of course, Trump was openly hostile to much of the government he now ran. Oh, and yeah, don't get me excited. And its institutions began fighting back, sometimes in public ways. They did so with a combination of the severe and the absurd. To Trump and his allies, the new president is now the victim of conspiratorial bureaucrats threatened by a president trying to drain the swamp. That's absolutely true, and I'll confirm that in an article from Breitbart, where they're talking about Steve Bannon on 60 Minutes, where they sat down with Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell, and Mitch McConnell basically told the president they need to back off that drain the swamp talk. This is from Breitbart today. Steve Bannon is actually going to have an interview with CBS News dropping on Sunday. It's 60 Minutes with Charlie Rose. That's going to be a big deal. But Bannon said, I think Mitch McConnell and, to a degree, Paul Ryan, they do not want Donald Trump's populist economic nationalist agenda to be implemented. It's very obvious. McConnell supposedly told Trump's team, quote, I don't want to hear any more of this drain the swamp talk. Interesting. Interesting. Back over to Politico. To Trump and his allies, the new president is the victim of conspiratorial bureaucrats. We just said that. In August, after EPA employees alerted the New York Times to an EPA report on climate change they feared would be quashed, the headline at conservative Breitbart News website shouted, deep state teams with fake news. Even more anxiety swirls around classified information. In July, the Republican-led Senate Homeland Security Committee released a report that found the Trump administration was being hit by national security leaks on a daily basis. And at a far higher rate than its predecessors encountered. After the report was picked up at the conservative media, Trump's son Donald Jr. tweeted a link to it. If there was ever a confirmation that the deep state is real, illegal, and endangers national security, it's this, he wrote. Now, before I continue on, I mean, think about what they're going to do when I become the next senator from Missouri. They're going to be terrified because this is a sign that the anti-bureaucrats are starting to terrify the bureaucracy. And this is the argument for limited government. I'm going to go off on a rant after this, but I just want to, you know, I'm starting giving you a little preview of my post-read rant. But this is the danger, right? This is the danger. This is the danger of big government. All right, I'm starting to, you know, to warm up here. So you want me to continue or you want me to rant? All right, I'm going to rant. This is why I am running for the U.S. Senate. This is why I am so committed to this cause of liberty. This is the entire argument for limited government, is because when the bureaucracies become too large, they become anti-democratic. Supposedly democratic institutions have become anti-democratic. And now, when the power has swung to the Republican side of things, and Donald Trump, who is openly hostile to many of these bureaucracies like the EPA and others, they start to go out and they're leaking on him and they're tweeting against him. That's when you know that our government is no longer under control of itself. It's no longer under control of civilian leadership. It is totally out of control, and it is time to rein it in. Now, conservatives, they used to dismiss the concerns about the political abuse of the NSA surveillance. And now look, right? Now look, this is the problem that when you give the government the power to do something, when you are in power, your political opponents will use it against you when they take power. This is why libertarians argue for limited government. This is the real danger. Now, I don't want to read the whole entire story. I think that you guys should go ahead and read this for yourself. I do want to talk about one other subject before I end the podcast today, because it's something that's really bothering me. And I saw this on DailyWire.com, Ben Shapiro's website. But it looks as if our buddy Dave Rubin is in trouble. And you guys know Dave Rubin and I are friends. He's endorsed me for my Senate campaign. We're actually talking to him right now about coming out to Missouri, doing a campus event. Maybe we're actually going to try and invite Ben Shapiro, too, if we can. It'd be kind of cool, right? If we could get those two guys out here and the three of us do like a town hall event, that'd be awesome. But we're definitely going to try and get Dave Rubin out here for sure. He wants to come, and we're going to try and make a big deal out of it, because I think, you know, Dave Rubin would be a huge draw for college campuses. And you know I love the guy. I think he's awesome. But dude's in trouble. DailyWire.com. The title is YouTube Demonetizes Another Dissident Channel. And the Rubin Report has basically been demonetized. And he's not the only one. Ayan Hirsi Ali, Adam Carolla, Bridget Gabriel, Rita Panahi, Christina Hoff Summers, who's like a badass, Jason Whitlock, and others, they've all been demonetized. I mean, listen, folks, I never spent a lot of time on YouTube trying to, other than just to like watch my cat videos or like my, fail army videos or anything like that. But I never invested a lot of time or resources into YouTube because I just had a bad feeling. Now, you may say, hey, Austin, you invest a lot of time and resources into Facebook and you're getting screwed over there on their algorithms. Okay, well, that's true. But I just didn't trust YouTube because I knew that this kind of stuff was going to happen. And I have diversified, thankfully, my my monetization streams, so I'm not getting too hit too hard with that. I think I was only making like $100 a month on YouTube, so it was really just not a whole lot. But Dave Rubin, his whole strategy was YouTube. And apparently what they're saying is that you can be demonetized for using nebulous language. Nebulous language just means like language that is hard to decode, right? Like, so it's not just ISIS terrorist videos that are being taken down. I mean, you can't even talk about controversial issues. You can't talk about sensitive events, right? Like a bunch of snow, like it's turning into a snowflake platform. You can't talk about drugs, right? So I can't talk about ending the war on drugs. I mean, thank goodness my podcast is hosted on Podbean. Thank goodness Podbean is kicking so much butt right now and monetizing my videos directly. I'm thankful. I'm lucky because I get to have free speech on this platform. And Podbean, if you guys don't know Podbean.com, you gotta check it out. It's amazing for podcasters. They're not paying me to say this. This is just a legit ad. I'm totally endorsing Podbean.com. They're amazing. If it wasn't for Podbean, I would have never been able to get in touch with the U.S. Concealed Carry Association. And they're amazing, and I'm so fortunate because we have a huge podcast audience. If you're still listening to the show right now, you know, please do me a favor, check out podbean.com because they're amazing. But Dave Rubin is in trouble, and he's getting demonetized, a lot of big names, just for talking about things like, oh, harmful or dangerous acts, right? So it's like if you're showing about cosmetic procedures, right? Cosmetic surgery, right? That's something that'll be demonetized, right? You can't talk to people about how you got a nose job on YouTube and show the pictures. Like, oh my gosh, like that's really that bad. Inappropriate language. Oh my God, you can't say the F word. You can't say the S word. You can't say the C word. Now, I don't say those words on this podcast, even though I can because, well, I'm running for office and everything you say can or will be used against you in a campaign for the U.S. Senate to repeal and replace Claire McCaskill, so I gotta watch it. But inappropriate use of family entertainment characters, right? Like, don't make, like, sexy videos of Meg Griffin from The Family Guy, who can't do anything that's incendiary or demeaning, right? Like, I can't demean Claire McCaskill on YouTube anymore because, goodness gracious, I'd be demonetized. Sexually suggestive content, sure, that makes sense. Violence, fine, okay, but I mean, again, people like Dave Rubin, I mean, Dave Rubin is talking about the news. Dave Rubin is covering important topics. Dave Rubin is giving a voice to the voiceless in our debate. So listen, most of what I need to be doing is raising money for my own campaign, but I do want to say, hey, spread the love around today, folks. If you're not donating to hurricane relief, or even if you are, if you're not donating to my campaign, or even if you are, please go check out Dave Rubin's Patreon. Sign up for his Patreon, give him a little bit of love because I want to see Dave Rubin creating more good content. He's one of the best YouTube creators out there. He's brilliant, classical liberal, and he's the kind of guy who I would like to see more of. And I think that, he's in a kind of a pickle because he's invested so much into YouTube. And now YouTube is basically just shutting down anybody who talks about anything that isn't, you know, puppies or kitties or something like that. You can be demonetized. Like, goodness gracious. All right. So check out Dave Rubin at his website. I believe it's daverubin.com. Let me just double check before I get in trouble. And Dave Rubin contacts me and says, hey, Austin, you didn't give me free advertising properly. It's not Dave Rubin. It's RubinReport.com. Sorry, Dave. I should have prepared to give you a proper advertisement. There we go. RubinReport.com. You can click to donate. Man, he's got a really slick website. Dude, Dave, you are like the classiest guy ever, man. I can't wait to get you out here in Missouri to talk to my friends and my family here to help me win the election so I can take over the government and leave everyone alone. Thanks, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you have a wonderful day. Don't forget to share this podcast with your friends and do us a favor. Send me some comments. Let me know what you think. Are you guys big fans? Do you like what I'm doing out here? If you want to hear more of this, you're going to have to share it and let people know that we're out here fighting the good fight. Have a wonderful day and take care.